Tommy sat waiting for the order, the orders which were now overdue. But he sat with his buddies waiting. Some chatted quietly, but most sat in silence, trying not to think about what was coming. Desperately trying to distract from the here and the now, he sat thinking about his life growing up in the country, on the farm, his parents, his grandparents working together in the fields. Oh, and Mary, yeah. He liked Mary. And later, after today's battle, he would write to her again, tell her exactly that he loved her, just as he had done yesterday in another letter that he would send to her. His mind snapped back to the reality as he remembered one of his closest mates, Bill, who had been killed just yesterday, not 50 yards from here. Once again, the brutal reality of war was back, more real than anything he had ever known. As his mind wandered, his eyes moved up to the warm blue sky above, and he could see far above a squadron of Swatwick camels and Fokker Wolfs engaged in their strange dance being acted out above. The smell of decay was everywhere, and the Padre walked along the line of the troops and stopped in front of him, gave him a cigarette to help calm his nerves, and chatted with him for a little while. The orders crept down the line. That was it. This was where he helped victory over the evil empire. This was where valour was made. When he returned home to his girlfriend, he would be a hero. All of this would be a soon, horrible memory of the past. He was going to propose to Mary when he got home. That he was sure of. The whistle blew and his mind snapped back to the here and now. Tommy and the rest of the company climbed the ladders out of the trenches and looked over the vast, stinking wasteland of mud and decay. As his company advanced, Tommy took in the landmarks in this cesspool of mud that they called a battlefield. Burnt-out remains of a tank to the right, barbed wire about 50 yards ahead, and he struggled to hold back the feeling of being sick when he saw the death and decay all around him. The air seemed to erupt all around him, shells whistling and exploding. Then the dreaded sound of the machine gun fire. To his right, Tommy saw one of his pals stagger and fall, then moments later another and another under the relentless hail of bullets. Suddenly, Tommy was thrown off his feet and landed on his back. His mind raced. He went to get back up, but his body wouldn't answer his commands. He just lay there in the middle of the stagnant, rotting mud. To block out the noise and the pain all around him, Tommy focused on that ongoing dance in the sky far above him, as the cold crept through his tired body. That strange dance far above him continued, but now there was only a handful of planes left, spewing out their tracer bullets in streams of orange hatred for each other. As he lay there with his remaining life slowly ebbing away, he recalled what the Padre had said to him not 10 minutes before, that this was a righteous battle, and a rich reward awaited in heaven for those who fell. Those who fell would rise above the land up into heaven, and if they fell, the Padre had said, then today they would know joy in paradise with Christ. Title for this message, Joy in Paradise. The acrid smoke burnt his lungs as his breathing slowed, his young life filtering away. Thoughts of family back home, the life he would never know with Mary. Blue skies above darkened to a grey, and it wasn't late though. The sun still hung in the sky, dispassionately watching and fighting, the fighting below, seeing everything going on. Was his mind playing tricks on him? Because it must be night. As the sky turned to darkness, the cold mud seeped further into him, drawing the last of his body heat out. As he closed his eyes, he remembered something his gran had said just before he went to war. Just a few months ago. Tommy, she had said, Tommy, it's war. It's pointless. As the preacher had said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And as he lay there in his final moments, he knew the preacher was right. The darkness around Tommy grew heavy and slowly enveloped him. Time stopped. Knowledge ceased to exist. Turn, please, to Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9 and in verse 5. starting Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And in verse 6, I'll read it from the Message Bible version, as it gives a little bit more clarity. Their loves, their hates, yes, even their dreams, are long gone. There's not a trace of them left in the affairs of this earth. Seconds tick slowly by. Minutes turned into hours. Hours into days. Weeks and months passed. Seasons changed. Years passed. Decades ticking into a century. Centuries into a millennium. Ticking slowly by. Then it was time. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Scripture that we know very well from the last great day. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied in verse 7, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, and there was no breath in, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, and our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Tommy's mind sparked back to life. Air filled his lungs once more. It was still darkness around him as his eyes remained shut, but he could once again feel the warmth of the sun on his face. He tried to wiggle his fingers. This time they moved. Maybe it was just concussion. Maybe he wasn't hurt, just concussed. Maybe he would see his beloved Mary again. But something was different. As he moved his fingers, he could feel grass. Where was the mud? Where was the sound of battle? Where was the sound of the fighting? Must be delusional, he thought, because he thought he could hear birds and people talking quietly. Where was the smell of decay that he could smell just moments before? What was that that he could smell? Roses? He was sure he could smell roses. Tommy's mind raced. He wasn't dead. He must have been dragged from the battlefield unconscious, that was it. He hadn't died, maybe he had just been wounded and dragged to safety. He must be back home recuperating. He opened his eyes and he gazed around him. Rolling hills with tall, beautiful trees. He could see flowers of all colours scattered through the rich parklands. Herds of wild animals moving slowly through the landscape. He looked up. The angry dance of the aircraft had gone, and had been replaced by a flock of wild birds soaring on the thermals. This certainly wasn't back home, that was for sure. Then it hit him. He was in paradise, just like the Padre had said, but he didn't feel dead. In fact, he felt alive, more alive than he had been moments ago when he had closed his eyes in that cold, stinking mud. More alive than he had ever felt. As he looked around, he saw some of his buddies. Yeah, that was it. It must be heaven, because his pal Bill, who died just yesterday, was across from him, smiling. He hadn't seen Bill ever smile before when they were together in the trenches, but now he could see a huge smile on his face as he talked to an older couple next to him. They were all smiling, crying and hugging. A comforting and reassuring voice asked Tommy how he was feeling. As he turned to the radiant face that was speaking, Tommy asked, "Who won? Did we win?" was Tommy's only weak answer. "Yeah, the Allied forces won, but mankind lost the war eventually. Your war to end all wars was just the first part in the final chapter of man's rule under Satan. Your war had three chapters, with World War III ultimately wiping out almost all life on Earth. But we've had no war, no fighting at all for over 1,000 years since Christ returned in power and glory. He won the war, and Satan has been completely defeated and can cause no more pain and suffering. Tommy, you've been dead for over 1,100 years. Death, the grave, the seas, they've all given up their dead so that you can have an opportunity to live, an opportunity at life, real life. Man no longer learns war anymore. All of the weapons have gone. They've been turned into useful tools which help us live peacefully. Christ the King now rules in Jerusalem, and any who seek to hurt or destroy have now been removed, and Satan is locked up for all eternity, never to deceive the nations ever again. So the Padre was right then. This is paradise in heaven then? Asked Tommy. No, this is earth. But it is earth as it always should have been if man had taken of the correct tree, the tree of life. Look around you. What you see is 1,000 years of peace, real peace, total peace under Christ and his kings and priests. The Garden of Eden even pales into comparison to the beauty we see around us now. Continuing on in verse 14 of Ezekiel 37. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. The whole world is now full of everyone who has ever lived and died. Those deceived by Satan under his rule have now been resurrected. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Later today, we've organised some more of God's faithful people to come and teach you about this great period in time. In fact, one of God's faithful ministers will be here soon to teach you all more about this last great day. As he continued listening, Tommy's eyes focused on an elderly couple just now walking towards him with a third person talking alongside them. They looked familiar, but also didn't look familiar. They looked a bit like his parents, but they couldn't be because his dad always walked with a stick ever since his accident had crippled his leg. The couple saw Tommy and froze. The quizzical look soon turned to joy. Then Tommy saw tears rolling down their faces. His father looked so much older than he remembered, but now he looked full of life too. Tommy once more couldn't move. But it was not like last time when he was laying in that stinking mud. It was just his brain racing to process what was actually happening. What was actually possibly happening in front of him as he watched his father run over and hug him so hard. As we zoom out now, we look at the same thing happening all around the world. Tommy's pals moaned down alongside him likewise, being reunited with their parents, their wives, their children, just like every other young man down through the ages killed in battle, irrespective of which side they fought. Pharaoh is being reunited with his firstborn, along with all the Egyptians who lost their firstborn. The children under three who were killed by Pharaoh and by Herod being reunited with their parents. Jephthah and his daughter, King David and Bathsheba with their firstborn. The list is endless. In fact, there are right now billions of parents, great and small, being reunited with their whole complete family. Immense joy has replaced millennia of sadness and grief under Satan's rule. This paradise is not just a physical paradise. It's an emotional paradise. It's a spiritual paradise, almost beyond comprehension. Under Christ, the joy in paradise will be all-encompassing.